listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right. Welcome to episode 112 of Rogue Startups. I don't know why I made that so dramatic. It just felt today's a drama day, I guess. I've been dealing with so much drama lately. It just, everything feels extra dramatic, you know?
Nice.
How the hell are you this week?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. We're back. So I think this week is just going to be kind of updates episode from us. We took last week off because I was traveling a bit. And so this week will just be a bit of an updates episode. Things for me are good. We're back in France after being in the U.S. and in Florida for almost 2 weeks, so like 10 days. And it was good. It was good to be in Florida. Good to see all the family, have some time just to kind of unplug a little bit. Speak a lot of English.
I sort of take that for granted, but how's your French coming in France? I mean, are you like semi-fluent now? Because you've been there over a year at this point, right?
Yeah.
A year and a half?
Yeah, so it was August of last year, so yeah, 15 months or so. I think we do really good. I mean, we're always going to have an accent and not know everything.
And then the French, you just don't appreciate anybody speaking their language unless you're native. So,
all of our friends and almost all of the people that we meet and interact with here are really gracious with like helping us along and understanding and wanting to talk French with us, even though like the really polite thing that a lot of people say is, I hear you have an interesting accent. Where in France are you from? And say like,
New Orleans.
Right. It's good. I mean, the amazing thing is the kids. I mean, just to hear the kids talk with their friends and talk with the friends' parents and stuff, like they're legit like native speakers already. It's really amazing. And Amanda and I are just idiots that bumble through stuff, but it's rare now that we kind of like can't express what we want, you know? So we get around and get along very well. Which is cool. It's a huge stress relief, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the countries that I have traveled to where I speak the language of the country, so either English or Spanish, is so much less stressful than the countries where I've traveled where I didn't India didn't totally count, but I was in the northern section of India where they did speak English, but then there was also Tibetan. So I didn't speak Tibetan, and I couldn't read Tibetan, and a lot of signs were in Tibetan. A lot of them also had English on there too, but not all of them.
Yeah.
So there was always that sort of element of stress in that when you're not 100% confident about your choices and your options, you know, something like that.
Yep.
So yeah, I feel where you're at.
I think the hardest thing is we all take for granted the fact that we, well, one, can speak English and we're traveling. If it's not in the local language, it's in English. But we also read Latin characters, right? Like A, B, C. If you're from a country that doesn't have those and you come here, like you can't read or write. And so for us, like coming in reading French or Portuguese or Spanish or German, it's like, yeah, you can kind of figure out a lot of stuff. But if you're from China or, you know, like a country that doesn't have, I don't know, Latin kind of characters, Russia, like it would be really, really, really challenging to travel, I think, if you didn't speak English. So.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, we could have a whole discussion about travel. But I mean, the people that I've met on international travels or at conferences, it seems like a lot of the countries now, because English is the de facto language of the internet, that people speak their local native language and then they know some English because they've spent some time on the internet. And depending on the frequency of that time and or the education level of that person, they may speak very fluent English or just partially fluent English. But it seems like English has, you know, for better or worse, become sort of a world-ish kind of language, more so than it ever was, that's for sure. I remember the stories when I was taking Spanish in high school back in the 80s where they were talking about, you know, if you travel outside the United States, you know, don't expect them to say a word of English or whatever. And nowadays, if you go to Spain, there's a pretty good chance that you run into somebody that they're going to be able to speak English to you, even if you don't know Spanish. So
yep.
The world has changed. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But none of this has anything to do with our businesses. So
no. Well, yeah, I think Not having stressful things at home makes you be able to focus on business a lot. So I think very indirectly, maybe it does a little bit. But yeah, so I mean, last time we were talking, you were just releasing a big update for your Business Directory plugin, right?
Indeed, I was. And so for the past, 2 weeks, we have been, I don't really want to say support hell. I think my two other people would say it's support hell, but I think this time it was crazy support, but it wasn't like, oh, fuck. Like the last big release that we did, I felt like it was just a month of oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And this time, you know, there were a few oh, fuck moments, but it definitely felt better. So the testing that went into it and the preparation was good. It still was not smooth. It still was not perfect. My guys are complaining about, you know, automated testing options. And one thing that really bit us, you know, was high PHP versions and low PHP versions that were below our support level. But it just blew up in a very ungraceful way. And so people were like, ah, it ruined my site. It crashed everything, you know. So, you know, we had to get some people to do some upgrades. And then we had to try to make it so that it was a little bit smoother. And then there's just like all the environmental shit that happens out there, like all the weird goddamn things. Like if you have WPML in this version of PHP and you also have Yoast installed, then you'll get some special JavaScript conflict, but it only happens on Safari. And then we got to patch that. It's just sort of like, oh. Yep. So, you know, there's probably like 30% of our issues have gone into that bucket. Some of them were in the, you know, we had the weird PHP stuff going on and we just had to smooth that out so that the things worked better bucket. There were definitely a handful of issues where even though we had all of those things in place, like shit just doesn't work and sometimes it's just a straight up conflict and we got to suss it out. And sometimes it's common stuff. Sometimes it was something with us. Sometimes it was a weird plugin that we've never seen before. You know, that happens all the time. And then there were just some things where, like, there were two main features that I didn't even have on my testing list when we pushed it out the door. And they weren't things that I was like, ah, we really need to test this because I'm sure that people are doing this and it's super important. One of them was everybody's using a free directory, and in free mode, you just shouldn't show a fee plan when they're in our new selector dialog. And, you know, we did all of our workflows and testing around payments because this was like the big thing that everybody hated. But I kind of neglected the free stuff in doing that. So I was like, whoops.
Yeah.
So we're trying to re-optimize for that. And, you know, the guys are swamped with all kinds of requests at this point, trying to get people's sites patched and up and running and trying to decide, is this a real problem? Is it a conflict? Do we need to get a bug patch out right away? And just trying to push everything out the door so fast. Yeah, it was spending tons and tons of time on it. A couple of things that we didn't even anticipate. One was just being able to import and export fee plans, because this whole thing is about migrating people off this weird old thing that we had where there was this notion of featured listings and fee plans, and you could do all these weird assignments of fields and features to these things. So you could say, if you're on this kind of a featured listing, you get these fields available to you, and you could have maps and ratings, and you get a contact form, and you could diddle this all in whatever way you wanted. Very complex, very hard to set up. And because we had these two different notions, one of featured listings and one of fee plans, everybody in without exception just got it wrong or was contacting us on support. And I was just like, fuck
that's
it.
Tough.
We're sweeping the whole thing under the rug, and we're going to start over and try to do a better job of it, push it all onto fee plans. But that introduced some other unexpected consequences about people wanted to migrate to other fee plans. And if their migration, they made a wrong choice, how do they undo that choice? How can they fix it easily? And when they've got 1,000 listings, they don't want to hand edit this shit. So it's like, oh, crap, I didn't think about this. So we're scrambling to, you know, put in exports and imports so that they can actually change listings in bulk for specifically for their fee plan. So if they made a mistake, they can create a new fee plan, dump, you know, 100 listings onto this new fee plan and just be done. So we got that pushed out. So things are kind of slowing down, but now we're getting into the, well, why doesn't it do this or why doesn't it do that? So these were some of the things that we had deferred for 5.0. And now I've got to prioritize those for a 5.1 release and see how long that's going to take to push it out the door. And I've already got some people complaining about some other older stuff that we didn't get to. And, you know, I told them this wasn't going to happen, but they still are coming back and complaining again because now we put out a new release and everybody always expects their pet bug to be fixed in a given release. So, yeah, it's pretty much been support hell for
Sounds horrible. Sounds absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Now, on the plus side, I have dealt solely with escalation issues. And so that has made it a little bit easier in one sense. And Bobby has been able to handle the bulk of just the constant repetitive stuff. But she still has lots of questions because this is a new release. And so every time she runs into something she doesn't know about, it gets pushed back to me. So there's been some training. I don't think the training was quite long enough. So I would probably do that a little bit differently next time. But yeah. And then with Recapture, my developer is hammering along at the Shopify app. I've seen a couple of updates. Things look very encouraging, and I hope to see more stuff soon. I know he's taking some time and going to a client of his, so he's going to be out of pocket for like 3 weeks in the beginning of December, end of November. But I still think we're kind of on track for at least having something testable by the end of December, if not releasable. So that's pretty positive.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, churn is stressing me out. A bunch of credit cards came up this last month, and everybody's credit cards hit dunning events on them, and I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Oh, man, that's horrible.
And so I think some of the emails aren't reaching them because I'm trying to reach out, and some of them are come back to me and said, oh, sorry, Dave, let me take care of that. And some of them I'm still not able to reach. So, yeah, that's kind of stressing me out.
Are you using Stunning for that?
I am. Yeah. And I found that our friend Brian was also using Stunning, and I had a dunning event apparently with my credit card with him for Audience Ops, and I didn't know about it. And I didn't get any emails for it. So he like personally reached out and contacted me. I was like, well, that's odd. Why did I get any emails from Stunning? I kind of would have expected that. So I think we're both trying to investigate that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And try to figure out why that's not working the way that we expected it to. Because obviously if nobody gets the emails, your Dunning stuff is not getting any better than it was before. And you're paying for emails that are not getting delivered. So that's not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we had we've kind of run the gamut with providers for Dunning and for like analytics, Stripe Analytics, and talked to our friend Patrick Campbell at SaaStock quite a bit. He was there presenting. They had a booth and everything. We gave their tool a shot, so they have a recovery tool that hooks into ProfitWell, and we've started using it. And I have to say it works really well. They have like a full page takeover and in-app messaging, and they lock people out of the app if they haven't paid and things like that. So it's a really complete solution. They charge on recovered volume, so kind of like you do, for like recovered carts. But for lower volume people, it's free. So for us right now, for Serious and Simple Hosting, it's free. So we get Stripe Analytics and abandoned or failed payments for free through ProfitWell, and I think it's called Recover. So yeah, so we used Stripe Baremetrics tool originally, and then Stunning, and it's just nice to have everything in one place, which is, I don't know, it's not the most important thing for me, but it's really nice to have everything in one place.
Well, that's sweet. Do you know what the revenue threshold is for the, you know, you're too small to charge you right now?
I don't know. No, I don't
know. Well, I can't imagine that Seriously Simple Podcasting is much larger than Recapture at this point. So that might be worth checking out. I mean, email delivery is important. Like if these emails are not getting there, then I can't use that Dunning tool. So, you know,
did you set up a DKIM and all that shit for your emails?
I did. I absolutely did. Yeah. You know, being an email delivery guy myself, I mean, I'm all over that. You know, it's like that's second nature at this point to go generate that stuff and send it out.
Yeah.
So like when I got that first email, when I was setting up my Stunning account, I was like, boom, here you go. Done. What else do you need?
Yeah. Yeah.
but it doesn't seem to be impacting things at the moment. And, you know, when you get, I mean, I've had like 5 payment failures this month, 5 or 6, something like that, which is very high. You know, for my customer base, that's pretty high. And that's, you know, if they're not getting their emails, that's bad. I, you know, got to fix that.
We have I think it's the nature of, I'll say, the type of customer that we have. We have a really high dunning rate, I guess, or like dunning incident rate. You know, like a lot of people have credit cards that aren't good or don't work or whatever. So yeah, this kind of tool for us is pretty important. I don't know what our rate is or what an acceptable rate is or anything like that, but I feel like we have a lot versus like for Podcast Motor, we have a couple a year. We have a lot less customers too, but even at that, I think it's our rate is different. Our kind of trajectory is different with this. So yeah,
I'm certain that the price point of a customer has a lot to do with what kind of credit cards you get and the quality of the accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% certain about that. If you're selling a $1,000 a month product versus a $35 a month product, you're going to probably have a lot more dunning events on the 35 end than the 1,000 end.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, so from our end, I guess kind of first update for us is we are hoping to have launched Castos.com and our new hosting platform yesterday. And that definitely did not happen, which is, you know, I mean, it's as a non-developer, but I hope I understand our developers and our process a lot. It's cool. I mean, it's what it is. It's not me being upset about it. It's not going to change anything. We are doing some things. We're adding some functionality, not a ton, but I think it was a little unrealistic to expect that we would be done in the time frame that I was hoping for. So we're shooting for now. So now is the second week in November. We're recording this on the 7th or something like that. Shooting for a soft launch the Monday before Thanksgiving and kind of work the bugs out that week because our guys in South Africa don't celebrate Thanksgiving and we don't here either. Although we are having an American Thanksgiving on that Friday for our French friends. But hoping to have like a soft launch in like almost 2 weeks now and then a pretty full launch the Monday after Thanksgiving, so Cyber Monday, I guess. So yeah, everything is on our staging site now, which is exciting to like see shit out in the wild. And yeah, along with all of the other stuff that we're doing, we're to the point now where we have to kind of branch out some of our AWS resources and put a load balancer in front of our servers and all this kind of fun stuff that I barely understand. But I feel good that we're doing a lot of work now to set ourselves up for success later on. And that, you know, like this is a good investment of time and resources that this will really pay off in allowing us to scale with a tool that's more predictable, I'll say, than like a WordPress-based tool. And also just some of the infrastructure stuff that we're doing to allow us to auto-scale like without any effort at all. I mean, just spin up a new server and stick it up there and spin it down when volume goes down. It should all be really cool once it gets implemented. But we're just starting to test it now, so it's really interesting to see the pieces come together.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I understand the value of having hard deadlines and things like that. I mean, I basically put a deadline at the beginning of October for the guys to say, come hell or high water, we're shoving this plugin out the door. And we didn't make that deadline, but by giving them the deadline, oh my God, the focus and the ability to prioritize and say, nope, not important. Yep, that's got to go in.
Yeah.
Oh, we missed that. You know, like all of a sudden it just changed everybody's mindset to, okay, here's a deadline, let's try to hit it. And even if you don't hit it exactly, because I think we were a week late, and then after that I pushed it another week specifically because I wanted to give my support team time to digest the new thing. I wanted a little bit of time to write some docs, which I still haven't finished. I mean, I've gotten – oh, Jesus. You know, I think I have – 15 of the docs migrated over. No, maybe more than that. Like 25. I have 25 of the various things from our previous site migrated over. I think I've got 100. So, you know, I'm so far behind on that. But I was trying to prioritize. This is important. This is not. This is, you know, this is the old one still applies. I don't need to migrate that one right away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you just do the best you can. And when it came to launch, I was like, all right, well, I feel like we've got a reasonable set of stuff here to work with. And we're still going to run into problems, but at least we had that deadline to get us ready for it as much as we possibly could. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Kastos is definitely going to run into shit, and you're going to be fixing shit, and that's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's totally okay. Soft launch is good. I love soft launch. Soft launch gives you feedback, and feedback is what you need to make it better.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we're going to roll this over for kind of people that would already be in our pipeline. So like WordPress users who are using the plugin and would sign up for a hosting platform from WordPress. Ultimately, we want to go after them as well as people who aren't using WordPress or don't want to use WordPress to manage their podcast. And for those people, that's really who we're kind of soft launching to. So we're going to roll everything over onto Kastos.com for the kind of making sure nothing breaks for existing users and nothing breaks for people kind of already in our marketing flow to come in and sign up and get started and all that kind of stuff. That's a fair amount of work. And then from there, that whole week probably, and then, you know, the next couple of weeks will be kind of tweaking things for people using the standalone, you know, the app as kind of like a standalone tool. So I think it makes some good sense. I put a hard deadline on for the same reasons you're talking about, for some focus, and just because otherwise, like, it would never get done. And a lot of it comes on me, like as the non-developer, I'm the one who's coming in saying, you know, do our statistics meet the International Association of Broadcasters guidelines or something like that? Some stupid thing that has no business impact. It doesn't have no business impact. It has almost no business impact, you know? But I come in here with all these crazy ideas. And as a team now, we're all getting pretty good at saying like, yep, this has to get done. This definitely does not have to get done. Let's just put it, like, we're using Clubhouse now, by the way, clubhouse.io as a project management tool. It's fantastic. It's really, it's like super duper Trello for development. It's wonderful. But we're all in there now and organizing ourselves pretty autonomously, which is cool to see for a pretty young group, young together group. So yeah, the deadlines are good. If you don't hit them, at least it gives you some focus so that you can look back and say, okay, we got a lot of stuff done and we shipped something that pretty closely resembles what we wanted to. So
yeah, I mean, every time I've had a deadline, you know, one of two things happens, and mostly it's the first one that I'm about to describe, and that is you come close to hitting it. And by come close, I mean there's some delta of time beyond that deadline where you finally get everything together, and that focus gives you that ability to sort of make it all happen. But by putting that deadline in the ground, like, everybody's focused on that one thing. The other thing that happens is you're like, okay, either this didn't matter and we missed this deadline and nobody's panicking about it and we should just quit doing this, you know? Like, it makes you question whether it was important at all or not in the first place, because I had some deadlines with SupportVine. And those deadlines, when I wasn't able to meet them and I wasn't able to generate enough demand to keep going with it, I was like, all right, fuck it, we're done.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, deadlines are good.
Yeah. Yeah. How are things with the recapture? I know you said the Shopify integration is coming together and for something like the end of the year, maybe?
I'm hoping, and, you know, this comes with a lot of caveats, that we get something by late December that's fully integrated. It has all of our current feature set in it, and we can test it on one or more Shopify stores at this point and push it out there. So that's my goal at this point. Now that we're kind of in the e-commerce lockdown time, everybody's talking about Black Fridays and, you know, their email marketing campaigns, and all of this stuff is locked and loaded now. You know, a funny story, I had somebody who came in and updated their directory. And of course, we just did a major upgrade from 4.x to 5.x. So, you know, anytime I see a major version change on something, I'm like, I ain't touching that thing for weeks. I want to make sure somebody's got some stability, because I have to depend on my site. Like, the whole thing has got to stay up. Well, this guy, for whatever reason, decided that he was just going to go ahead and upgrade. And then we get, you know, and panicked support email saying, this is my most important time right now. Like, I can't imagine taking this down. And I was like, why were you doing upgrades during your most important time? Like, why, if it's really your most important time, defer everything until it's done. Like,
unless
if it's until
broken,
January.
Yeah.
Right. Like, until January, you know? So I don't know why that happens on some people's sites. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment, right?
Right.
So
right.
Maybe this guy just got some experience on that.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. So with a lot of stores, you know, I see some people that are coming in for new trials with recapture right now. But there was definitely a dead window there prior to, you know, the Black Friday thing. So the traffic kind of died down a little bit, and I don't know that everybody is necessarily looking for changes on their store at the moment. So I'm just trying to use this time to push forward as fast as I can and get the Shopify thing done. So we've got that as another possible channel out there.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like maybe good timing in disguise then.
Yeah, implicitly, you know, I had thought that this was going to happen earlier in the year, but, you know, it didn't. So took a while to get the Shopify developer in place, and that's all okay. That all, you know, that's working out very well right now. I'm very happy. So, yeah.
Always costs more and takes longer, right?
every single time.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
this has been my curse as a business owner now for years, is that everything takes longer than you expect, even when you take into account that it takes longer than you expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some Twitter conversation we were having the other day, and I forget with who it was with. Maybe it was Josh Pigford. And that was – somebody was quoting, hey, that's Godwin's law. I'm like, yep, and Godwin's law applies here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the only other update from my end, and I alluded to it, I think, on the last episode, is so we – with our new French visa, we've opened a new business here in France. And so trying to kind of nail down exactly what that business is going to be. So I was telling my wife the other day, it's like the first time in a long time I've not wanted to start something new, like my ADD is not kicked in to go kick off some new project or something. I would like to try and focus right now if I could, but we are needing to sort of open a new business, and I don't want to transfer one of my existing businesses over here. I think I'd rather just keep them where they are. So trying to kind of figure out what that's going to look like and where part of my focus is going to be there. And I have some time to work it out. We don't have any of those sort of deadlines to start making revenue anytime soon, but definitely thinking a lot about, you know, kind of like what we've done with Podcast Motor and Series Assemble Podcasting and now making it Castos, and living in the podcasting world a lot, and is kind of continuing in that vein makes sense. Or, you know, if I'm honest, one of my criticisms of all of our business kind of sphere is that it's, I'll say, relatively elective from a business perspective. So no one has to, very few people have to have their podcast. It's a really nice thing and a really great thing. And for me and you, it's really important. And for a lot of people it is, but it's not Stripe, right? Or it's not a CRM or an email recovery tool or something like that. So if I had my druthers, I would be much closer to that like business essential type of model. But along with that goes a lot of stress and a pretty hard project, I think. So, yeah, just thinking a lot about what I want my next business to be. And do I want to buy something very small, or do I want to start from scratch again? Just kind of thinking through it. And it's an interesting exercise that I don't really want to be doing, so that makes it even more interesting. But, it's taking up a fair bit of kind of mental space these days.
Well, can I suggest a Brie and Bordeaux exporting business?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, the only sort of stipulation of this is we applied for a business license, basically, to be a software company. So it's going to be software.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can call yourselves Bordeaux and Brie Bits or something, you know,
right,
BBB.
Right.
I'm sure you'll have no trademark issues with BBB in France. So,
no.
You know, BBB.fr.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I mean, we're thinking about a lot of things. And I always say I'm thinking about a lot of things, a lot of things that are just interesting and exciting for me. But also, I mean, I think staying in the media space makes a fair bit of sense just because I understand it pretty well at this point. But also looking at buying something small, which is tough because they're usually off-market opportunities. So if I could buy something that just is getting its first customers, that might be fun too, because then I don't have to make the decision about where I want to go. It's just like, can I buy something that's making a couple $100 a month and go from there? Ideally, that's what I would like to do. But those opportunities are tough because nobody wants to go through the work of building a tool and getting a few customers and then putting it up for sale. So
cool.
Yeah. And yeah, heading off to Lisbon on Sunday. So 5 days from now, heading off to Lisbon for MicroConf Europe, which I'm very excited about. Speaking for, 45 minutes, talking about, switching from productized services to SaaS and what that journey has been like. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Have my talk all done 2 weeks ahead of time. So Xander is loving me, I hope. So yeah, I'm really excited. It's a great conference.
Well, I wish you the best of luck on your talk. I'm sure it will be very interesting. I'm sorry I won't be able to be there to hear it in person. Maybe I'll be able to catch it on one of the recordings, although I don't know that I've ever seen the MicroConf Europe talks get recorded. Do you know that they do that?
I do not know. Yeah, I hope for everyone's sake, because 2 years ago when we went, they were really, really good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good luck, and we look forward to a full report upon your return, sir.
Sounds good. And for everyone listening, if you haven't already, we would love a review in iTunes. Would love a review in iTunes. Just let us know, 5 stars or not, what you're thinking. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.